Amen. I feel Jesus all in this room. What about you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So encouraged by that testimony of the goodness of God. Amen. He's a miracle working God, isn't he? Come on, let me say it again. He's a miracle working God, isn't he? Amen. Amen. I'm standing here. Of course, your pastor is on assignment. This morning, he is bringing the word at another congregation. And I'm going to tell you something about your pastor. He loves his church so much, so dearly. He doesn't accept half the invitations that he receives. I promise you. He is a man that is, of course, a man of God. You know that. And he is anointed of God, and he receives invitations all the time to go places and bless other congregations. And he doesn't do that. You know why he doesn't do that? Because his heart is right here. But he, this morning, of course, he is out helping and ministering in another congregation. And I promise you, he is delivering the word as he always does here. And with that being said, I'm here, and I guess you can just call me his little brother, whatever you want to call me. And I'm going to try to preach the word this morning. Let's just see what God does. Amen? Who's excited about Jesus? Come on, you're going to have to work with me this morning. I said, who's excited about Jesus in this house? Amen, amen, amen. Let's go to Micah chapter 7 and verse number 7. We'll begin reading a very familiar passage of Scripture. And thank you for allowing me to be here. I love this church. I love what I feel in this house. Micah chapter 7 and verse number 7, very familiar passage. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Look over at your neighbor and say, he will hear me. Rejoice not over me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 16, turning your attention to the book of Proverbs as well this morning. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says it this way: For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Notice this: a just man, a righteous man, shall fall, or will fall seven times, but he riseth up again. I'm going to try, if I can, for the next few moments, preach from this subject. I may be down, but I'm not out. Look over at your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to work you this morning. I may be down, but I'm not out. Come on, I may have fallen, but I'm getting back up again. Come on, you got to make up in your mind this morning that no matter what life throws your way, that you're not going to allow it to rob you of what God has for your life. How many people in this room today would say and be all honest, I walked into this house this morning with a need from God. I need God to show up in my life. How many would be that honest today? Come on, I have a need in my life right now. How many would he go on to say and venture on and make this known today that I need a miracle in my life? Keep your hands up and look around. I need a miracle in my life today. How many of you with that hand lifted believes with everything that is on the inside of you, with what you know about your God, that he's able to meet your need today before you walk out of this room? Come on, allow me to be the evangelist this morning. Maybe I'm going to have to push you a little bit, but God's in this room right now with a purpose, and that purpose is to work the miraculous in someone's life before they walk out of this room right now. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, clap your hands and lift your voice and praise him. Hallelujah, Jesus. All the days of our lives, they're seemingly jam-packed, if you will, with countless decisions that demand or require our undivided attention. Many decisions that we make are often automatic. They're made out of pure impulse simply because of the numerous times in which they are made. Some decisions are very small, they're very minute, they're very insignificant, while others are extremely gigantic in proportion.
Oftentimes, substantial consequences are at stake, and we find ourselves staring down the enemy's loaded barrel of adversity. Adversity is something that we all experience due to the simple fact that we're living in a sinful and fallen society. Adversity is known at times to give birth to tragedy, catastrophes, misfortunes, and even disaster. And in the midst of these things, our enemy of our soul, the enemy of our soul, the devil himself, unleashes his fiery, fury attack toward us at will. Has anybody ever been there? Amen. Adversity is known to be a condition of suffering, a condition of difficulty that bears and delivers anguish, misery, discontent, pressure, stress, amen, disappointment to its victims, leaving behind its nearly lifeless prey lying face down in the dry, dusty dirt of defeat and failure. Have you ever been there? Beaten down by what could have been, battered and bruised by the what should have beens in life, embarrassed and ashamed by the broken, busted hopes and dreams of days gone by. And the only words that some can utter when they feel this way is words like this: I give up. What's the use? Or maybe even the two words: I quit. There are those maybe under the sound of my voice this morning, and I feel that there are because of a tug in my spirit. There are those here today, you feel exactly the same way. The pressures of life, the situations of life, amen, the things that you are currently facing in your life, weighing you down and trying to get at your faith and trying to cause you not to believe that your God is there for you. Amen, but I believe that he has sent me here this morning to remind you that God is for you. Amen, God is able to see you through. God is able to heal you. God is able to set you free. Does anybody believe that in this room? Clap your hands and give him praise. Scripture, in fact, is very full of examples, individuals who faced adversity. And arrived on the other side of that adversity, they soon discovered that God can work through their situations. That he is able to bring about, amen, miracles in their life. You know, many times we come to God with needs. We present them to him. Maybe we come to the altar and we say, God, I need you to work in this situation in my life. Amen. I need a financial miracle, or I need a miracle of healing in my body. So many times we'll bring that request, but we stop with that request right there, and we don't understand why we never receive an answer. But we heard of an example this morning that sometimes you got to make up in your mind that you will not take no for an answer. That no matter how difficult it is, no matter how hopeless it seems, that your God is able to work a miracle no matter what the problem or the situation is. You got to understand, his knees doesn't knock at a diagnosis of cancer. The Bible says that he's a healer of all manner of disease. That there's nothing that he cannot heal. That there's nothing that he cannot do. Many examples in the Word of God shows that when the odds are stacked against you, that he's able to step in and receive glory because of what he's able to do. If you look back in the Old Testament, Joseph, he experienced a betrayal of his very own brothers. His brothers sold him into slavery, into captivity. He was in prison for many, many years until God enabled him to become the second most powerful man in all of the world. And those brothers that sold him into captivity, many years down the line, they were at his feet worshiping him, trying to get his help and assistance because of their need. God can elevate you when nobody else can. God can change your situation when nobody else can. You may be going through a dark time right now, but God is able to turn that around and get glory out of it. And I believe I'm here to tell somebody in this room, what you're going through right now may be dark. It may be difficult. It may be unfair, but God can and will turn it around with your faith. Amen. Clap your hands and believe him right now with me. Moses was a fugitive in the wilderness for approximately 40 years before God released him and empowered him to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. After his prestigious victory over the Philistine giant Goliath, David spent many years running from his life, for his life, because of jealous King Saul. And upon the death of King Saul, God grants David a promotion, and David becomes Israel's most celebrated, beloved, and notable king that has ever lived. God elevated him. God changed his circumstances because he was a man of faith and he was a worshiper. So I'm going to tell you something, and I know you've probably heard this 1,000 times. Here's 1,001. Amen. Your worship will get you further with God than anything else in this world. Amen. When you worship God in the midst of chaos, when you worship God in the midst of hell, if you will, when you worship God after the negative diagnosis, when you worship God when your kids are going crazy and your spouse is acting like a nut, but you worship God anyway and you're faithful anyway, amen, what you're doing, you're paving yourself a path to the supernatural, to the miraculous, where God can step in and do something that you can't even imagine. To him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you're able to ask or even think. Let me say it again. He can do exceeding abundantly. See, a lot of times you hear people say, preachers say exceedingly abundantly. No. Exceeding abundantly. In other words, it exceeds abundance. He can do things that can exceed our minds, our expectation, our thoughts of what God is able to actually do. Come on, I don't care if you receive a diagnosis, amen, this past Friday, and you feel like, and the doctor said you can die in 2 weeks, amen, I believe that God is still a healer. No matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what the doctor has said, God is still a healer. He is. He said, for I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I do not change. And he's not a liar. If he speaks it, it happens. If it comes forth from his mouth, it takes place. Now, it may not happen like we want it to happen. And it will not happen at the time you want it to happen. His ways are not our ways, and honey, his time is not our time. I've asked God for things. I believed God for things. And I felt in my spirit it was going to happen. My faith was high. And I just believed that it was going to happen in the next few weeks. But it happened to be years down the road. But nevertheless, when it took place, it was at the right time. And it was absolute perfection. See, God doesn't do anything halfway. When he does something, it is total perfection. He's going to perfect some things and some lives in this room today. Things that you've been praying for. Things that you've been asking for. God wants to do it. And when he does it, it's going to be at the perfect time where he can receive glory and he can be exalted. Amen. Because of what he has done. Amen. Esther was nothing more than a little exiled Jewish girl. Just a little old girl. Before one day God elevated her to be the queen of Persia. Due to the fact that Jesus was running a little late, decided to take his time, if you will. Mary and Martha are found mourning the death of their beloved brother. He was noted to be a friend of Jesus. Jesus loved him. He loved Martha and he loved Mary. And when he became deathly ill, they sent for Jesus. You would think that Jesus would gather his belongings and grab the disciples and take off and go right to the side of his friend. But it took him 4 days. I guess he wanted to maybe take a day and rest a little bit. And maybe take the second day and prepare for the trip. And maybe go fishing on the third day and whatever on the fourth day. But nevertheless, it took him 4 days. And it was not a long journey. And when he got there, he had 2 ticked off women to deal with. God, he had to be Jesus. He had to be God robed in flesh to deal with that. 1 ticked off one can do enough damage, but 2, oh God. But he shows up, and they come to him, and they say, if you would have been here, he would not have died. If you would have been here when we sent for you, this would have never happened. But notice Jesus. He was dealing with 2 women that were ticked off because of their dead brother. But notice what he did. He didn't shake. Why? He's Jesus. He didn't worry. Why? He's Jesus. He didn't have to. But he steps to the mouth of that tomb. And he calls Lazarus out. Tells him to come forth. And he does exactly that. He comes forth. Now if you were to ask Mary and Martha what they thought about it on day 1 or day 2. If you would have thought about what they were going through on day 3. When Jesus did not come to their side or their aid or their rescue, they would have said, hopeless. They would have said, we'll never be with our brother again. We have no hope. We have no help. Some of you are standing right there, right now, in your situation. You feel so hopeless and so helpless. Can I remind you this morning that you're not. You're not hopeless. And you're not in a situation that renders you helpless. As long as you have faith in God, as long as you believe that he is able to do the things that he's promised in his word. Amen. How many of you believe that today can be your day for the miraculous to step in and change your life from this day forward? How many of you truly believe that your God is able to step in at the perfect time and work a miracle on your behalf? Amen. I believe it. I said, I believe it. Adversity is certain in life. It is certain. And it is definite. For many here today, inside of you, there is a war raging for your soul. This battle that you have been waging, it's a bloody fight for your life. It's a fight like you've never encountered before, maybe. You're here today beaten and bruised and battered, bleeding, if you will. Maybe down in total humiliation and what feels like absolute defeat. You wouldn't be able to stand one more disappointment. One more heartache would take you down and possibly destroy you. But can I say this before your last breath and you begin to prepare your spiritual funeral? Can I remind you of this one thing? That the enemy of your soul, the adversary of us all, the devil himself and all those under his power or authority, they do not possess the authority, if you will, to destroy you or take you out. I'm going to tell you something. We give the devil too much credit. We give the enemy of our soul, and he's an enemy. He'll do everything he can to rob you of what God has for you. He is your enemy. But he only has one power. He does not have the authority or power to personally make you or physically make you do anything. The only power that he possesses is the power of persuasion. He can try to persuade you into thinking that God no longer works miracles. He will try to persuade you into thinking that God cannot work a miracle in your situation. He will try to persuade you into thinking that he cannot heal disease. He will try to persuade you into thinking that he cannot heal the emotions of a man or a woman. He will try to persuade you into that thought process. But that's the only power that he has, is the power of persuasion. Amen. He cannot produce what it takes to physically make you do anything unless you surrender your will to his will. But the Bible says that we all are given the measure of faith. That means that I have the same amount of faith at my access. I can access the same amount of faith as you can. He did not give me a little bit more faith than he gave this one or that one or anybody in this room. He did not give you more faith than he gave your neighbor. We all been given the measure of faith. And it's what we do with that faith. It's how we access that faith. It's how we activate that faith that determines what we receive from the Lord. So if you have faith, as it already settled, the word settles that you have faith. If you would take that faith and you would mix it with the word of God, what you're doing, you're setting yourself a foundation for a miracle, for the supernatural to take place in your situation and in your life and in your family. Well, the renowned prophet Isaiah happens to be one of my favorite books of the Bible. But the prophet Isaiah declared it this way in Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against me and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No matter what the weapon is that the enemy comes against you with your faith, with the word of God, it cannot penetrate you. It cannot take you down, and it cannot ultimately destroy you. Why? Because God is able, amen. God is equipped, amen. He has equipped us, amen, to withstand the fight and the warfare that the enemy throws at us. And it's with our faith. She talked about it. Amen. With faith. What do you think the word says? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please him worrying all the time. Amen. You can't please him in a constant state of worry. Say, I don't worry. I'm just heavily concerned. Pretty much the same thing. Had people say to me in the past, are you worrying about this? No, I'm not worrying, but I'm heavily concerned at this point. Maybe you're at that place. Amen. Heavily concerned. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're right in the middle of it right now. And you're withstanding this situation. You're having to stare it face to face, and you're intimidated. You know, one of the nastiest feelings to be intimidated, isn't it? That's one thing the enemy uses against us, is intimidation. My son, he's Gentry. I remember when he was a little boy. He was in kindergarten. He was having a rough time with his kid. And picking on him a little bit. Teacher called me and said that, you know, Gentry got pushed down, had a little cut above his eye, you know, nothing serious. She said, but I'll tell you something funny happened after the little boy did that, and we separated them and put them on each side. She said, I began to tell the young man what he shouldn't have done, and he shouldn't push, and, you know, you don't act that way, and I'm going to send you to the principal. And she said, I'm petting Gentry a little bit. He said, Gentry just rubbed, he just got his arm and just did like this and started wiping his eyes. He said, you may have hit me, but my daddy's going to beat you up. Now, I could have whooped the kid, probably, unless he'd have tripped me. I could have probably took him. But it was the way he responded. He knew he didn't have what it took to take this kid on, but he knew his daddy did. You don't have what it takes, maybe, to take the enemy on,
But I know one that does. I said, I know one who does. Maybe you don't have what it takes to feel victorious in your life because of what you're going through right now. But I know one that can take your sorrow and turn it into joy. And I know one that can change the outlook of your life. I know one that can help you right now, today, before we walk out of this room. Even as this word's going forth, he can begin, amen, to do a work in your spirit right now. Why? Because he's in this room, and where he is, anything is possible. Do you believe that this morning? That where Jesus is, anything is possible. Come on, clap your hands and believe it with me right now. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Say, well, that's New Testament. Well, for those of you who need Old Testament, well, for those of you who need New Testament, here you go. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. That means you're in his possession. You're his. Look over at your neighbor and say, I'm his. I'm his kid. Yeah. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Why are you able to overcome? I'll tell you why. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means what is living on the inside of you, what you have access to, is greater than anything that the enemy can throw at you. It's greater than any disease. It's greater than any sickness. It's greater than any depression. It's greater than any financial pressure. God is greater because he's living on the inside of you. This is what I believe. I believe so many times we'll come to the house of God and we'll sell ourselves short. We rob ourselves. We rob ourselves. We allow ourselves to try to attempt to rationalize God. You can't figure God out and how he does things. I got to take this thing off. Y'all making me preach hard this morning. I'm sweating. Lord, have mercy. Y'all don't like t-shirts and preaching? Pray for me. Amen. I'm hot. I wish some of us get hot at the devil. I wish some of us get sick and tired of being sick and tired of all the things that we're going through. You know, God has chosen us. We should be living lives of victory. We should not be walking around defeated. We need to access what God has given us and live a life that is absolutely 110% victorious. I don't care what you're going through. Y'all have enough faith in you to understand that you are victorious because of what Jesus Christ has done. We just celebrated it last week. Come on, you have access to the most beautiful thing in all of this world. You have hope. Why is the world so defeated? They're hopeless. What is one of the most missing ingredients in this world and people that you know? Hope. But you have hope. Amen. You have it because of who he is. Amen. Adversity, problems, sickness, grief, challenges, setbacks, failures, all of these things proceed, come right before the miraculous. You say, prove it. I'm glad you asked me to prove it. I will. You cannot experience a great victory until you first come underneath a vicious attack. See, I could have passed a piece of paper out this morning. Sorry about that. Y'all edit that. I could have passed out something at the door this morning. Little piece of paper that said, would you like to receive a miracle today? Check yes or no. Very simple. I promise you, 98% would probably check yes. 2% would lose the paper. Maybe 5. I'd be in the 5 probably. But most of us would say, I would love to receive a miracle from the Lord. Why would you say that? Because there's something going on in your life, right? I would love to receive something from God. But we don't want to have to go through what it takes to become qualified to be a recipient from the Lord. Right? Amen. Think about it just a moment. You can't. You must first be determined extremely ill before you can experience an extraordinary healing. I don't know about you. I don't like being ill. I don't like being sick. I don't like thinking there's something wrong with me. Why? You begin to be heavily concerned, right? Not worried. But something begins to kick in. Oh, my God. Oh, I got a pain here. What's over here? Okay. What vital organs are right here? Okay, oh, God, my chest hurting. What's the first thing you think? God, I shouldn't have ate so much last night. That fried chicken's done me in. Jesus, forgive me. You know, all these things begin to go over in your mind. But you have to understand that no matter what you face, no matter what's going on, He's able. You can't experience a supernatural miracle until you first endure the pain of an ultimate disaster. Life's tricky. Life is challenging, even on its best day, isn't it? Life's a challenge, and even on a good day, life's a challenge. There's decisions that you must make, even on a good day, that are challenging, that will pressure you at times. Amen. But let me encourage you today and give you some words that your adversity, your problems, your hurt, your sickness, all of these negative things we experience in life, there's a blessing in it all, is that every single one of them are temporary. They are not eternal. Every one of them. That gives hope. Amen. Allow me to put it this way. There can be an advantage to your addiction. What did he just say? I said there can be an advantage to the addiction that you once had in your life. There's this young lady. Her name's Megan. Her and Ryan in our church in Augusta. They went through years and years of addiction. I mean bad. Man, they were popping pills, selling pills, stealing pills, robbing their parents, anything and everything you can think of to just try to deal with that addiction. Would lose possession of their children. They wouldn't even be able to raise their own children because that addiction had absolutely overtaken them and overwhelmed them. If you looked at them 4 or 5 years ago, you know what you would say? Just by looking at their circumstances, man, they're hopeless. Man, they're a wreck. Man, they'll go in and rob the parents. They'll steal from anybody. They're so addicted to drugs. They're so addicted that they can't even live a life, and even close to a normal life. But that addiction had an advantage to it. And the advantage is today, they're pastors in our church, and they deal with people that have addiction. They're the recovery pastors in our church. And you know what they do? They help people. They give them hope. They bring them in their ugly, addicted state that they're in. They bring them in. They love on them. Amen. They pray with them. And they show them what God can really do. Looking at them, you would see that addiction years ago and say, they'll never get out of that. They're hopeless. They're a wreck. It's useless. But you can see now the advantage of that addiction. It is now bringing people to the cross. It's bringing people, amen, that are deemed hopeless to Jesus. And they're finding that there is life. And there is life more abundantly. And it's found at the foot of the cross. There's benefits in the burdens that you're carrying. There's contentment in your calamity. There's comfort possibly in your catastrophe. There's help this morning in the hardships that you've gone through. There's fruit in your failure. There's profit in the misfortunes. And there's even miracles in your misery. You've got to make up in your mind. And you've got to understand that no matter what I am facing at this present moment in time, I may be knocked down. I may be dragging bottom. Amen. Everybody around me may say I'm useless. Everybody may be saying I'm hopeless. But I know this. Amen. That he's able to reach into my life. He's able to change me. He's able to redirect me. That he still loves me. That he can pick me up. I may be down right now, but I'm getting back up again. Amen. I may be under it right now, but I will be back on top of it because of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Can we clap our hands and love him? Instead of focusing on the sickness, the problem, the hurt, the grief, focus on the fact that the supernatural from heaven is on the way. You know, the psalmist said that there's times in your life you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. There's times in life you won't find encouragement in friends or family. There's times where you just have to square your shoulders in the midst of trial. Amen. And encourage yourself in the Lord and understand that he's always there and he doesn't even have the ability to forsake you. Because he's bound to his word. He doesn't even have the ability to leave you if he wanted to. He can't forsake you. He can't leave you. Because he said, he can't. In his word, I'm with you always. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. I know I'm not preaching to everybody. But I believe I'm preaching to somebody. That you feel like you're at the lowest point of your life. You feel like it can't get any lower. But I believe God sent this 300 plus pound preacher to remind you. He sees you where you are. He knows exactly what's going on. He's counted every tear. He has taken inventory of every prayer. And he is able and he is ready to work a miracle in your situation today. I may be down, but I'm not out. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. The righteous fall seven times, the book of Proverbs says. The righteous falls seven times, but gets back up again. What is it that makes this man or this woman or whoever, what makes them just or righteous? Is it the fact that they fall? Is it the fact that they fail in life? No, that's not what it is. So what could it be? Is it maybe past good deeds that they've done? Maybe feeding the poor or the hungry or providing for those less fortunate. Those are great deeds, but that's not what it is. It's very simple, and many times it's an overlooked fact that every time you fall, every time you fail, every time you slip into sin, fall right dead on your face. The fact that you've fallen is not it. It's the fact that every time you fall, every time you mess up, that you brush yourself off and you get back up again. And when you fall, guess what you do? You get back up again. And when you mess up 3 weeks down the road, what do? You don't give up. You get back up
again. I'm here to tell somebody in this room, I don't care what you did last night. I don't care where you was. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you've fallen, you can get back up and you can see the miraculous and you can see the glory of God operating in your life.
Amen. Amen. Does anybody believe that word? They can get ready. I'm about to wrap this thing up. We got to go, don't we? I hear stomachs growling. Oh, that was me. I'm sorry. Many of you in this room, a lot of you in this room, you kind of know the situation in my life. The past couple of years, past few years with my wife. She'd been very sick for 5 years. Went through a long bout of illness. And I was with that girl for 30 years altogether. She was married to me 28 years. I don't know how she did it. That's still a mystery in heaven, I guess. But she was so faithful to God. She loved Jesus. I wished I could love Jesus the way she loved Jesus. I lived with her and I watched her. And I just have to be, can I just be transparent? I don't have what she had. I don't have it. I wish I did. She was just sappy with Jesus sometime. Almost kind of turned my stomach. Golly. That's even possible. But the last 3 months, her illness, she asked me one weekend or one Saturday, I picked her up from Dallas. She said, honey, she said, will you take me somewhere? I said, I'll take you anywhere you want to go. Barring us out of country because I ain't got my passport. It needs to be renewed. Anywhere else we'll go. I'll beg, steal, borrow, whatever I got to do. She said, could you just take me up to the mountains for a few days? I just want to go be somewhere just quiet. Just me and you. I said, absolutely. We did. I packed things. We took off. I know she didn't feel like it. I knew in my mind she was going to be a struggle. We got up north of Asheville, North Carolina, and got up on the Blue Ridge Parkway. We found this overlook that a little over 28 years ago, right before we got married, we were there and we were dating. We were sitting there watching one evening. She took me back to that same place. I forgot about it. See, us guys, we just ain't got it when it comes to all this. But after we pulled in, I said, we've been here before. She said, knucklehead, this is one of the first places that we talked about marriage was right here. I said, oh, forgive me. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember now. Yeah, right. But we were sitting there, and she told me, she said, Philip, my days are numbered. She said, I hate the fact of leaving you and the kids. She said, but the Lord has decided to heal me and make me whole in His way and not our way. She said, don't ever think me leaving diminishes God and His power. She said, don't ever think. She said, you've been preaching it for 30 years now. She said, don't ever think by me leaving that it diminishes the miracle work and power of Jesus Christ. She said, in fact, she said, you preach your miracles. You preach faith. She said, that's what you've always done. She said, when I leave, don't you stop. She said, in fact, it's my prayer that it'll give you more faith than it's ever given anybody. And you know what? September 28th, I lost her in this world. And it took me a while, Chris. Took me a few months. Finally, back in February, I was in my truck riding down to the hunting club. Hunt season was even out. I was just trying to get away. Parked my truck down in the woods. missing her so bad. And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, I did exactly what you prayed for. He said, you prayed that no matter what it cost, to make her completely whole, to where she would no longer bear the marks of this disease. He says she does not bear the marks of that disease any longer. And she's completely whole because she's with me. And my eyes opened. Was I down? You better believe. Not a day goes by that tears don't fall out of my eyes because I miss her so bad. But I will say this, I've never had so much faith in all of my life. The reason I'm pushing some of you this morning, the reason I'm being a little longer than normal, is simply because of this. I know what God can do. When you're broken, what you seem to be, you're broken beyond compare, He can absolutely pick up every single piece and put it back together again. When your heart seems to be broken and shattered, guess what? The book of Ezekiel says that He goes beyond putting your heart back together. He says He can give you a brand new heart. He can take that which is shattered, which is busted, which is old, and He can replace it with something brand new. How many hands would go up now and say, today, I don't want to walk out of here the same as I walked in, but I want to walk out of here knowing, amen, that He's working for my good, that there's a miracle in my forecast. Amen. The supernatural is about to visit my house. That the supernatural is about to visit my body. That the supernatural is about to touch that one that is dear to me. I know that God's about to work a miracle in my life. Why don't we stand together all over this room right now? Spirit of God, that's in this house. You know every person that is under the sound of my voice. You know every need. You know every challenge. You know every situation that is present. There's those here that have needs of healing. They need to be healed. There's those here that need financial miracles. There's those here that need miracles in their life and their family. There's those here that maybe there's an addiction there. They need a miracle of delivery. They need a miracle of hope to visit them. Spirit of God, I pray right now that you would begin to move among your people. Spirit of God, I pray right now that you'd begin that process in some individuals even right now. As we're praying, God, we're praying in faith. God, I hope that we're praying in anticipation of that which you're about to do. Come on, I feel your spirit and I feel your presence all in this room right now. I'm going to speak a word. The enemy has attacked not only you as individuals, but he has attacked this church in the last few years. But the attacks that have come has been nothing more than a period of time, a time of preparation for that which God is about to loose and release in this house. God's about to release miracles like you've never seen or witnessed in your entire life. God's about to release some things in this room. He's about to release favor on this house like it's never had. Amen. He's about to release the supernatural in this place like you've never even thought could happen. He's about to release these things. Why did we go through this? Why did we fight this? What about this battle? What about that battle, honey?
God is preparing you for what he's about to unleash in this house. I would to God you'd receive that word and understand that when he releases these things, when the miracles begin to happen like you've never seen, when the supernatural begins to move and operate in this room and outside of this room like you've never seen, it's going to be your family that's affected. It's going to be your loved ones that are healed. It's going to be your mom. It's going to be your dad. It's going to be your kids that come to God. It's going to be those that will be sitting beside you in the months, in the weeks and years to come when God begins to unleash and release his power, his favor, his anointing, his miraculous, amen, happenings, his supernatural, all these things he's going to release in this house. This house. Some would even say, there's those that don't want this place to be a place of revival. I'm here to say the devil is a liar. You're going to see revival like you've never seen before in your life. You're going to see revival. There won't be empty seats. You're going to receive revival where you have to purchase more seats. You're going to see a revival, amen. You're going to bust the walls out of this thing because of what God is getting ready to release in this house. And you got to make up in your mind, we may be down, we may be going through it, but we're about to get back up again, and we're going to see the glory and the power and the demonstration of his spirit. This is what I want you to do right now. Those that lifted your hands earlier said, I need a miracle in my life. I know we try to be a little cautious, amen, socially distanced, I guess as much as you can, but I don't believe you're going to get COVID in the altar. I just don't think so. You lifted your hand earlier and you need an answer this week. You need an answer right away. I want you to walk down here with me quickly. Come on, quick. Don't wait around. Just quick. You don't have to try to rationalize it, figure it out. How God's going to do it. Will he do it? Just walk down here quick. Just respond to the word. That's all your responsibility is. Respond to the word in faith. Respond to the word in faith. Your faith will activate him. That's what activates God, your faith. All right, from here to here. All the way across the building. There's more of you, but give you a little more time. I mean, you need an answer. And you know you do not have what it takes to work this situation out in yourself. It's going to take a divine intervention. It's going to take heaven stepping in to your life, to your situation. I want you to put your hands up right now, and I want you to do both hands in faith. Do it in faith. First thing I want you to do is just begin to thank him. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I worship you for what you're about to do in my life. God, I praise you for the miracles that are about to fall in my life, in my situation. Those of you who are sick, I want you to begin to speak the word of healing in your life. I want you to speak to that disease. I want you to speak to that illness. I want you to speak healing. Tell yourself, I am healed. I believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. The stripes that were Pete received on his back was for my healing, and I'm standing upon that word. I'm standing upon that promise. I am healed. I will be set free from disease. I know that he is able. Come on, begin to speak it out. I speak healing in this house. Those that need a miracle in your home, in your domestic situation, I want you to begin to speak to it right now. Lord, I'm speaking a miracle in my house. I'm speaking a healing in my home. I'm speaking a healing in my family. I'm speaking healing into my children. I'm speaking healing into my spouse. I know you're able. Your word settles that you're able. And now I am going to position myself to be a recipient of what you promised in your word. Speak it out right now. Tell him, I receive it right now, Jesus. I receive it right now, Jesus. I want you as you're praying. I want you as you're believing. I want you to picture yourself on the other side of this current situation that you're in. I want you to picture yourself delivered. I want you to picture yourself healed. I want you to picture yourself set free.
I want you to picture yourself no longer depressed, but full of joy like you've never had before in your life. The rest of us that are maybe back here still, I spoke about revival in this church. How many of you really want that? Revival that will shake this entire area. I'm not talking about a revival that's just going to shake, amen, this community. I'm talking about a revival that will shake this entire county, the counties, amen, around this county. I'm talking about a revival where people will begin to request multiple services, where people will fill this house 2 and 3 times every Sunday on Saturday night. Amen. I'm talking about a revival that will shake this entire community and area, this county. Many of you believe it can happen. I could give you instances of guys that I went to Bible college with that started churches from nothing, and in 10 years running 3,000 people, 2,500 people that started with a couple families and a living. If it can happen in San Antonio, Texas, if it can happen in Houston, Texas, if it can happen in Indiana, it can happen right here in Covington, Georgia. It can happen in this house. How many of you want that? How many of you really desire that? God, whatever it takes, give us revival. Whatever it takes, give us souls. Whatever it takes, let miracles happen in this house. Those that are back here, I want you to lift your hands in faith right now. Along with these right here, that are right here up in front. Amen. This is what I want us to do. Lord, we receive what you promised. Lord, as a corporate body. Amen. As a corporate body of believers. As a congregation, we receive the revival that you promised. There's been so many prophetic words come over, amen, this desk, over this pulpit, over this, amen, this house, that you ought to know by now that God's up to something, that he's about to release something like you've never seen before in your life. Tell him with hands uplifted, I receive it, Jesus. I receive it for my life. I receive it for my family. I receive it for my friends, my acquaintances. I receive that which you're about to release in this house today. I know I've made you work this morning, but could we lift both hands and now just begin to have a time of thanksgiving and just praise him for what he's about to do and what he's already started? Could we just love on Jesus? Could we praise him on credit? Amen. Could we just praise him because I know there's an anticipation. Hallelujah. There's something deep on the inside of me that says it's about to happen. It's about to take place. He's about to release it in this house and in my life. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice in faith. Come on, lift your voice in faith. Come on, lift your voice in faith. Come on, go there with me right now. Come on, go there with me in the spirit right now. Lift your voice in faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. Come on, let's worship him. Let's thank him for it together right now.
There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There's healing.